Hey, and welcome to the Crosspoint Church Podcast. We are a church that is for the city in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. We are passionate about helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. So, if you're just joining us for the first time, we would love for you to check out our website, thecrosspointchurch.ca. There you can find ways to connect with us and see what's happening at Crosspoint. Now, let's listen to this week's Sunday message.
And sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim because it was grassy and wanted wear, though as for that the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads to way, I doubted I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. And that has made all the difference. Robert Frost. Crosspoint, this morning I want to ask you a question. Which road are you on? Where are you going? As we revisit the Sermon on the Mount with Jesus this morning, and if you have your Bible, we're going to take a look at just two verses in chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. And today is part two of a marked transition in Jesus' teaching as he concludes the sermon. And so last week, Pastor Mike showed us how Jesus prepared us with this summary verse in verse 12. Do to others what you would want others to do to you. And what should we do in the many varied scenarios of life? Well, do to others what you would want others to do to you. And so you see, we have been prepared for decision, primed for action, but the preparation and the know-how this morning are not the decision itself, is it? See, Jesus is not revealing any secrets here. He is speaking to a people here in the message whom he has already delivered the entirety of that message to, and during the entirety of this series, he has been showing us what this narrow path looks like, what this decision lived out looks like. And so we have heard Jesus' message, and now we get to decide for ourselves. This is Jesus' call to action. And so what is the choice that lies before us today? So let's read what Jesus says together, starting with verse 13, chapter 7. Jesus says this, "Enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction. And there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life. And there is few who find it." This is the word of the Lord. Will you join me in just praying before we receive this teaching? Let's pray and submit ourselves to Jesus' teaching and the Spirit's work this morning. Lord, many of us today face all sorts of decisions and questions. Some are big and some are small. And so we are presented with a trajectory that could alter the course of our lives. A million little branching points, as it were, over the entirety of a life. And so we ask you now that we would discern. May we discern with your leadership and your presence the correct way forward at every fork in the road in every scenario. Teach us your ways, Lord. And so may we learn to obey you and help us to work them out in everyday life. We love you. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, you might be asking yourself, what is the gate? What is this narrow path? And why don't people take it? And what does it look like to walk it out? And so I'm going to give you the who, what, why, how, when, and where of Jesus' invitation to enter the narrow gate. Simply put, here is Jesus' point today in less than 30 seconds. The who is Jesus in us? The what is this long obedience in the same direction? The why refers to why don't people take the narrow path, and it's because it is costly and it is hard. The how is with God's love, Jesus' guidance, and the empowering presence of his Spirit. And the when and where is that Jesus is always inviting us to walk the narrow way. And so let's take some time now to unpack that. In our exploration of the topic right now, we'll consider three dimensions of following Jesus. One decision, one way, and a daily commitment. You got that? One decision, one way, and one daily commitment. First, really simply, following Jesus begins with a decision. Dr. David Jeremiah often says this. He says, nobody drifts towards holiness. In the same way, nobody drifts into salvation. It is a deliberate and intentional step. God's salvation is free, don't get me wrong, but you must accept it. You can't accept Christ by accident. In other words, you cannot be passive and follow Jesus. You must decide. And our decisions are demonstrated by our actions. And so Jesus' invitation here is bold, it's offensive, and exclusive all at once. Enter the gate, he says. Choose me. And the decision we are invited to make here is exclusive, for there is no other way by which we can be saved. Amen? And like it or not this morning, it's not easy to like. This is a bold claim. Other religions, spiritualities, and faiths do not lead to eternal life. There's only one name that we can call upon by which we can be saved and reconciled to God. That is Jesus. And that's not it. Jesus says this, I am the gate in John chapter 10. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. See, Jesus is the gate. We don't drift into salvation or faith. We choose it. We choose him. And we find abundant life we could never imagine having. And so listen, church, I love you. I love the local church, and I believe in it. It has such a vital role in the lives of believers and the witness we have to the world. And there's a lot of good things that happens when we just show up, but that won't save you. I went to church for years before I put my trust in Jesus, and it took me even longer to start obeying him. And I think all of us here sense that there's something wrong in the world. That there must be more to life, and most of all, that we need help. And so I praise God for that understanding. But unless we reach out and ask for help, how can we get it? Unless we call out to God in our brokenness and need, how can we have it? And so Jesus here prepares us to choose, but he won't make you. He tells us the longing and desire for us, his preference. For our choice. And he is asking for your trust, though. And the truth is, he's not the only option. The choice is yours today. But let me be clear. Following Jesus does start with a decision. He is the gate. He says, enter the gate. But listen, there's more. Following Jesus only has one path. Life with God starts with one decision, but it doesn't end there. Jesus is the gate. But we need to learn to walk in his ways. It is a decision pregnant with 1,000 other decisions. It's a choice to make all decisions with Jesus in the driver's seat. You can believe in Jesus and you might even trust him, but if you don't turn from what you are doing and how you are living and follow him, you are not going to find abundant life Jesus is offering to you right now. A change of direction follows a decision to enter the gate, and it is a distinct and
identifiable change in our lives. In other words, you can tell when someone has put their faith in Jesus and decided to follow him by the radical reorientation of their entire life and the gradual transformation into Christ-likeness every day. So Jesus tells us to come to him. And then he invites us to follow him. But listen, this is not the only path available. Jesus uses this word picture of two roads. One is broad and easy, and one is narrow and it is hard. But they lead to two different places. Picture it with me. If I want you to imagine two roads that lead to an eternal city of light. One is a bridge, and the other is this long, winding, indirect path. Okay, first there is the bridge. A wide, well-lit, smooth, shorter, and direct road. A massive modern structure that looks safe and inviting. And many people walk on it. They're laughing. They're enjoying life and encouraging others to join them. It requires no effort to cross. You're literally floating. Just follow the crowd. And as people walk, they admire the views, indulge in the distractions, and assume they're headed in the right direction. Just coasting through life. But here's the catch. What they don't realize is that the bridge is out. Suddenly, it ends abruptly over a deep, dark, bottomless canyon. And when they reach the end, there's no escape. The crowd keeps pushing forward, and it's too thick and congested and too late to turn back, and people fall over the edge. Realizing too late that they chose the wrong path. See, friends, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but he's not the only option. There are many other choices out there, a couple big ones and a million smaller ones. Jesus calls this the wide gate. This means that there are other decisions we can make, other decisions we do make, other doors we can walk through, and they're often easier, more comfortable, and even enjoyable. And you'll have company because many people are heading that way too. But only Jesus leads to eternal life. Is that clear? And the consequences of a life spent on the wrong road are many and eternal. They have far-reaching implications. I don't even think we know how many. For our past, present, and future. And you will carry the weight of your past that whole way. And it will break you. And every decision on the wrong path will come with its own senseless suffering. And in the end, you will have nothing to show for all of that struggle. The wide gate is a broken promise, an empty gift, a cruel joke, and an imminent danger for us. And where does it lead? Well, Jesus says it wide. The wide gate leads to destruction, both slow, gradual disintegration, and the final consequence, eternal conscious suffering and separation from God. But Jesus invites us to enter the narrow gate and to take the path. Imagine it. The second way to the eternal city of light is narrow. It is steep, a rocky path. It looks less inviting, old, rugged, and requiring these careful, slow steps. Few people choose it because it's hard and it doesn't promise comfort or popularity. This road requires faith. And it sometimes feels dangerous and the journey is tiring. And those who stay on it eventually reach this beautiful city safely. So why don't people take the narrow path? Well, it's not because it's not worth it. Let me tell you today, it is. To know and enjoy God forever, we cannot even fathom that existence. Life is but a blip now, but eternity with God? It's not because this decision isn't urgent. It is. Today we are here, and you know it. The life has taught you. Today we're here, and we could be gone tomorrow. Not because this path is hidden. It's available to everyone. And it's because this path is hard, and it is very costly. Every step of the way, you know this, following Jesus is countercultural. The world says, hate your enemies. But Jesus has been telling us to love them. The world says that leadership is about power, but Jesus says it's about service and humility. He condemns pride and calls us to humility. See, the world says life is about self-fulfillment, but Jesus says deny yourself. The world encourages revenge, but Jesus says we need to forgive. The culture encourages a sexual free-for-all, but Jesus calls us to design and purpose. The world is obsessed and worried over material goods, but Jesus calls us to trust in an eternal perspective. The world is exclusive, but Jesus teaches us to include the outcast. The world makes us think we need its approval, but Jesus calls us to bold faith. And so how do you know if you're on the narrow path? I love this. I love to hate it, really, but I love this. How do you know you're on the narrow path? Because you will feel resistance every step of the way. It's like walking upstream against a strong current. Now, it would be easy for us today to think that this is not about us. Easy to think about this in terms of extremes. Like, there's a good path, and there's this bad path. The righteous take the good, and the wicked take the bad. But Jesus is not distinguishing between the righteous and the wicked alone. He's also distinguishing between the almost righteous and the righteous. The talkers and the doers, the fakers and those who let Jesus change them from the inside out. The big decisions and the small ones. Listen, our destination is a result of a million little decisions. Some of you who've lived longer than me know that. Even the ones we might think don't matter, ones that we think are arbitrary, things we allow, entertain, or let slide, these little tiny concessions. People don't set out for destruction. No, they don't. They slowly head there over a lifetime of consecutive poor choices. Think about it. For example, if you are sailing across the Atlantic on an exact compass bearing, and if you were off by even a couple degrees over a couple week journey, you will not end up where you want to go. Or, here's one that might really, you know, resound with you. If you are Elon Musk and you want to travel from Earth to Mars and the navigation coordinates are off by just 1 degree, you are in trouble. We did the math this week. If he is off just 1 degree over the entirety of the journey, he will miss Mars by 3.9 billion or million miles. Million miles. So what do we do when we're off track? Even a little bit. You grab the rudder. You recalculate. You course correct. And if you're going in the complete opposite direction, turn around. And I know some of you are sitting here, and that's overwhelming. And you're thinking, how can I make all the right decisions? And let me tell you, it's not about perfection. That's not what I'm talking about. It's about direction. God is not surprised, and he is so gracious towards us, isn't he? But we need to be careful. Because as the late Tim Keller used to say, what you allow, you encourage. And whether you realize it or not, you can end up off track on a completely different road, wondering why your life is in shambles and not recognizing the person you have become. Keller also once said, what the heart most wants, the mind finds reasonable, the emotions find valuable, and the will finds doable. Giving permission to ourselves. So listen, people don't set out to cheat on their spouses or tear apart their families. It starts with a secret thought or a little white lie. People don't plan to get mixed up in the wrong things, hurt people, and love money. It begins when we turn to the wrong thing in our time of need, doesn't it? Or when we let our immediate desires conquer our deepest needs. It's just these little things. And so whether we miss the mark by an inch or a mile, we have missed it. And whether you miss it in public or private, you miss it. And 1,000 of near hits add up to a world of separation. And so you cannot slip into faith with Jesus. We've established that. But you can drift away from it, can't you? You feel that sometimes. Distance. And following him is something we must do closely then, because we are just so prone to wandering, aren't we? The narrow path is hard, but in the end, let me tell you, it leads to eternal life. And so this morning, I'm begging you to choose it. You don't just end up on the narrow way. Why? Because so often we choose the immediate over the eternal. Our hearts often choose the path of least resistance. We give in to our desires rather than embrace the abundant life God offers us with him. He just needs to make us, and the enemy doesn't need to change our mind about Jesus, our knowledge about the Bible. He just needs to make us passive and comfortable, doesn't he? So how do we stay on the narrow path? It starts with one decision. It's followed by 1,000 others, and it requires a daily commitment and attention. Listen, following Jesus requires daily surrender. Daily. This is how Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus told his disciples, "If any wish to come after me," some of you might know this, "let them deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it." See, Jesus is saying, if we want to follow him, walk the path he walks, and live the way he lived, we are going to need to submit, serve, and sacrifice the way he did. Saying no to our plans and desires, willing to suffer for the sake of knowing God, abundant life, and eternity with him. And we will face that decision every day, like it's the first time. My family has this really annoying motto that we say. And I know it's a little nerdy and it's a little weird. Half of the time it drives me crazy. And sometimes I'm the only one dragging my feet. But it grounds me in the reality of life and refocuses me on my priorities. In my family, we say this: do hard things. Make hard decisions. Choose a significant and worthwhile life, not an easy one, because worthwhile things require effort. Together, we can do it. And see, this is the substance of what Jesus is saying in our heart for our church. It's not about knowing what Jesus wants us to do. It's about learning to obey him together. What is the purpose of our gathering here, other than to elevate Jesus and learn to obey his commands, to count the cost and pay the heavy price together, to suffer and sacrifice together, to do hard things together? Because we aren't designed to do that alone. Because if we're going to do it all, we're going to need each other. And so following Jesus starts with a decision, yes. It initiates this hard path that leads to the new and eternal life. And it takes a community like us and a daily commitment to follow him, to submit to Christ, to serve like Christ and sacrifice like him. But I'm telling you, it's worth it. It is so worth it. Paul in the scriptures reminds us that our light, it's hilarious that he calls it light, our light and momentary sufferings are preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. And compared to that eternal weight of glory, our sufferings are light. I want to see that. And so, as we close today, for the sake of time, I'm not going to invite the band up. I want to talk to three groups. And so I have an invitation, a question, and a challenge. And so I'm just going to invite Ian to play some reflective music. I'm going to invite you guys to stand. And if you're comfortable, it helps me focus. Close your eyes. The first thing I wanted to give you is an invitation. Come to Jesus. He is the gate, the truth, and the life. He loves you. He died for you. And he wants to give you new life with meaning, purpose, and hope. And so if you're here today and you've just been thinking about it and you're ready to trust him, our prayer team would love to meet with you in that place and pray for you after the gathering. Answer the invitation of Jesus to come. You can trust him. It is worth it. Is it easy? No. But is it worth it? Yes. If that's you, come to Jesus. The other group of people I want to addresses, you know, the ones who are doing it alone. Are you walking this path alone? You know, Jesus teaches us that the primary objective of discipleship is obeying him and teaching others to obey him. Following Jesus is done in community. And so you are not alone. It doesn't have to be that way. And so if that's you and you're ready to walk the narrow path with us, I want to talk to you. And so I invite you to talk to me or one of the pastoral staff or just send us a message. We'd love to invite you into our community. And third and most importantly, when you wake up tomorrow, the next day and the day after, is for as long as you can, your first step, order your others. And so start with this. Pray these words from Psalm 16, verse 11. And we're going to do that now. Let's pray these words together. Pray with me. Show me the path of life, Jesus. May I find in your presence today. May I find joy in your presence today. Where pleasures are found at your right hand. Amen. Come to Jesus. You don't have to do it alone. And Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, and God our Father, show us the way. Yeah. If you need prayer after the gathering, we'd love to pray for you. Otherwise, you're welcome to pick up your kids at 10:15. But let me remind you of who you are before you leave. You are the people of God, called by God into his redemptive mission in the world. So as you go, be who you are. We love you, and we'll see you next Sunday.
Hey, and welcome back. Thanks for listening to this Sunday's message. We hope that we've helped you in your spiritual journey and that you are drawing closer to God at Crosspoint. We gather on Sundays at 9 and 11 a.m. in Northeast Edmonton and throughout the week in something we love to call home groups. Home groups are encouraging and transformational communities for people just like you. We believe that the journey of faith is done together, so we hope that you'll connect with us at thecrosspointchurch.ca. Now, let me remind you of who you are. You are the people of God, called by God into his redemptive mission in the world. So be who you are.